start today the Torahway Northwest London. Thursday, 5th of Elul, 1st of September, Rabbi Amram Nemeth Shlita, Judging Yourself and the Dinei Darabonah.
Yeah.
This week's Torah is sponsored by Torahway regulars and friends of Graham Summers in memory of his late father Bernard Summers, Rabbi Boruch and Rabbi Moshe Yosef Zichron Livracha, who lived on the 19th of Av. We all miss you, Graham, and wish you a Chaim Aruchim in good health.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is my father. I'd like to speak today about two topics separately. That means judging and Usuri Darabonan are not connected to each other. They're two separate points of the parasha. So first of all, about Shoftim, judges and policemen. And second of all, about Isuri Darabonan generally across the Torah and relevant to all halachas and Isuri Darabonan that we hopefully keep. Both of these topics I hope to connect to the time period which we find ourselves in of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And hopefully, I don't think it's a forced connection. I think they're quite relevant, both of them very relevant, and both from very distinguished Sfarim. So judges and policemen, and Shoftim, something I know Baruch Hashem very little about, because I haven't been normally on the wrong side of the law, but I wouldn't really use this as a platform to admit it anyway. So parking tickets is really the furthest that I've got, and maybe speeding or bus lanes every so often. But jury service, I guess I did, but that was a bit of time ago, for a few days. There's a funny joke they say about the juror, that he comes to the judge and he says to the judge, "I'm sorry, but I've got to go," because in jury service every day you have to sign in, you want to always go back to work. Says, "I'm sorry, I can't carry on anymore." So the judge says, "Why not? Can they not manage in your office without you?" So he says, "No, they can, that's the problem, but I don't want them to know it." Right? So that's the furthest I get towards Shoftim and Shoftim. But we're going to see it's very relevant to our own personal lives, and especially the time period which we find ourselves in. So both the Divrei Torah and Halachas that we'll speak about before Sheni, they're right at the beginning of the parasha. Let's start with Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Yud Ches. Shoftim v'Shoftim titen lecha b'chol sharecha. The words are important, as we'll see later. Judges and policemen, two separate things. Judges, someone to judge, and shoytrim, people who will enforce the laws on the streets. Titan lecha, you should give for yourself, b'chol sha'arecha, in all of your gates. Asher Hashem elokecha noisen lecha l'shvatecha v'shoftu sa'am mishpat tzedek, and you should judge correctly. Makes sense, it's logical. Everyone should have judges and policemen enforcing the Torah law in Eretz Yisrael. And we go on in the parasha to speak about Edim Zoymimim and all sorts of halachas that pertain and are relevant to courts, witnesses, murders, punishments, crime. But in the middle, the Rosh Hashiva of Avraham Gurovitz points out, and he quotes Maharik, we have three lavim which seem to have no connection at all to the rest of the parasha. And these are they. You shouldn't plant an Asherah tree, a tree which is used for Avodah Zarah in the olden days. And you shouldn't offer your korbanot on a stone, rather it should be made of many stones. And thirdly, so there's three separate lavim. You shouldn't plant an Asherah tree in your garden, next to the Mizbeach especially. You shouldn't also make your Mizbeach of one stone, rather it should be of many stones. And also, you shouldn't offer up a korban with a mum. Now these lavim find themselves right in the middle of the parsha of judges and shoftim. And even though we don't darshan, not everyone darshan smuchim, connections in the whole Torah, but Mishnah Torah, the Gemara Yavama says, everyone looks at connections. So what's the connection and the juxtaposition between these and the rest of the parsha? Interestingly, also the Kli Yakar also brings this medrash that Shlomo HaMelech's seat was preceded by six steps, and on each step he had written the pesukim from the beginning of this week's parsha. So on the bottom step was Lo Sater Mishpat. On the step just above that it was Lo Sakir Panim. And then you had Losekach Shoichat. All those psukim are relevant to judge. Don't pervert the course of justice, right? Don't take bribery. Be an honest judge. And then in the top three steps, he also put these three lavim that are seemingly nothing to do with judging other people. So Losekach Shoichat, don't take bribery. It makes sense that when Shlomo is judging people, he's going to have that on a step to remind him. But the top three are the same three psukim. Losekach Lecha Asheira, and on his throne of judgments, says the Kliyaka, says the Medrash, there's definitely a connection between these three lavim of Avodah Zarah and Mum to judging people and to becoming a judge. And every time Shlomo HaMelech would walk up one of the steps, then it would announce the pasuk that was on it. It was like a device that spoke to him. And when he got to the top three psukim, it would say, the closer he got, it wouldn't actually, you know, the ones about not taking bribery were towards the bottom. But just as he's about to start judging, what would he hear? He would hear, don't offer up any korban that has a mum. As he's about to start judging, dini mamunas, dini nefashas. So the connection is seemingly a bit odd. So the Kliyaka answers one of them. He says, a dayan can't have a mum, especially in those days. A dayan had to be perfect like a korban. And therefore that's why mum is put in this parsha. That's an interesting halacha, which also has this fair amount. We're not going to go into it now. But the Kliyaka, if you look at the Kliyaka, very interesting Kliyaka, we're going to this week's Parsha and in Parsha's Emor, as to why you can't have a mum. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Amar Reish Lakish, Kalamam Edaina Latzibah She'ein Ehagam, Ke'il Yitzayin Amabeis, Kilunata Asheira B'Yisrael, Shneem Ashoiftim V'Shoichin, Titan Lecha V'Samach Leil, Sit Lecha Asheira. You shouldn't plant a dayan. You shouldn't appoint a dayan that serves Avodah Zarah. Okay? The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Gimel, he actually brings the next pasuk. So don't appoint a bad dayan, because when you appoint a dayan that's unfit for service, it's like creating a matzeva. The Gemara points out that when you appoint a dayan that's unfit, it's like planting an Asherah tree next to the Mizbeach. And the Rambam changes it slightly. And some of the Acharonim debate the source. He said it's like planting, or it's like building a matzeva as a mizbeach. So it's these two lavim that are relevant and are connected to dayanus. First of all, Losita L'cha Asheira, which is the Pashem Shat of the Gemara. If you appoint a dayan that's unfit for service, it's like you're planting a tree. And second of all, Losita L'cha Matzeva. If you appoint a dayan that's not fit for service, it's like building them as mizbeach from one stone, which is forbidden. Both of these two. Not the third one, mum will leave for the time being, but the Asherah tree and the matzeva. Both of those are very connected to the tzibor, appointing a dayan that's unfit for service. And says the Maharik, which Rav Aaron Gorowitz explains beautifully in his Sefer in this week's parasha, the first Dvar Torah in this week's parasha, is that if you think of a tree, and you think of the stone, and the characteristics of both are very different. So a tree looks very beautiful. You wouldn't necessarily know that it's being used for Avodah Zarah. It looks nice. It's got beautiful fruits maybe coming off of it. The fact that someone is miyachah this for Avodah Zarah and it's made it asa is not something that has a sign necessarily around it saying that. It's very hard to see this is something asa. So says the Maharik, that's compared to a Talmud Chacham, who knows a lot of Torah, has many good svaras. If you speak to him, then you're very impressed by his skills of the way he speaks, and the way he can understand people, and the way he can understand the Torah, but inside he's a broken person. And everyone's come across, unfortunately, situations like that. That's the way of the world, that's what happens. Because you could start off your life very, very well, and learn a lot of Torah, and then you can suddenly, everything goes to your head, and unfortunately it can become rotten inside. So that's compared to an Asherah tree. You plant a tree, and there's beautiful fruits, and maybe some people will say, oh yes, I always knew that he wasn't really, really suitable, but really it's very hard to know because everything is coming across very beautifully, there's longest like you've never seen before, you understand everything, but it's an Asherah tree. Inside there's Avodah Zarah. It's something we all have to be careful for, of course, but then there's also a Matzeva. A Matzeva is a very dull person. He doesn't know much Torah, he can't speak very well, he generally doesn't know anything. So his Dvar Torah, his Dvar Torah based on Google and Chabad.com, and you can hear that when he speaks. And Halachapedia is the Poisek. There's nothing more that he knows. And that's also wrong. That's what the Rambam's referring to. No one's going to respect this kind of Dayan, and he can't even paskin. So he'll quickly call up everyone just to find out the answer every time, but he's also unfit for service. So the Asherah tree represents a Dayan, or a Rav in this instance, I don't think specifically a Dayan, if someone who knows a lot, who's learned a lot, who's very clever and very intuitive, but inside they're rotten. Just because they look very beautiful, everything looks perfect, but you can't tell that unfortunately it's been used for Avodah Zarah, and this person's insides for Avodah Zarah. The second one, the Matseva, which is the other comparison between judging and Avodah Zarah, says Rav Avraham, says the Marik, is a stone that's got no more stones added to it. That was the problem with the Matseva. It's just one stone, it's quite dull. Not only is the stone not a Tzomeach, not only doesn't it grow, he doesn't even add anything to it. So he can't even learn, he doesn't even try and learn or read or something. You can't appoint such a Dayan as well. Both of these are a problem. And that's where the Gemara brings Lasit al-Kha Asherah next to Dayanus to remind you, so to speak, that you'd be careful the person you're appointing is beautiful inside as well as outside. Don't just look at the shear, look at the way the person acts at home or just try and find out if they're genuinely a Yirah Shemayim. And the Matseva is referring to a Dayan who doesn't know anything. He has one stone, he hasn't added on many stones onto himself, and don't appoint him as well. And finally, the Mum, it's because, it says the Maharik, it's because if you appoint, just like when you designate a carbon that has a mum, the Kedusha is not chal on the carbon, so too if you designate a Dayan that has any of these two character traits, a lack of knowledge or a lack of Yirah Shemayim, the designation is not even a designation. It's not like he's appointed at all. Now that's all relevant to creating a Beis Din, especially in the times of Lishka Sagazis, when this was the main Beis Din in Klal Yisrael, we spoke about here about 7 weeks ago. But how's it relevant to us, as we've said? So if you look through all the Rishonim and all the Achronim on the Parsha, this is all an El-related Parsha. Starting with the Ramban, Tzedek Tzedek Terdoif, which summarizes the halacha of judgment, you should run after justice, says the Ramban in one Pshat, if you run after judging yourself, then so to speak, Hashem won't run after judging you. None of us want Hashem to look inside us to see all of our faults. That's what we come and daven with the minyan. Because like the Kliyaka says, the beginning of Parashas Kisisa, we come together, especially in Rosh Hashanah, so Hashem looks at us as Klal Yisrael, and he won't necessarily look into, obviously he can see everything. He won't, so to speak, focus on the inner workings of our heart to see all the deceit and all the things wrong that we do. None of us want us to be peered in 100%. So says the Ramban already, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, you should run after being introspective yourself, and that way Hashem will, so to speak, feel, I don't have to judge this person because he is working on himself to making sure he's keeping the mitzvahs and not doing averus. And Rav Avraham quotes his father, Hevim Asunim Badin. Rav Leib Gurvitz said, you should be careful in judgment, judgment for yourself, judgment for other people. It doesn't necessarily mean Dayanus. It means we're always judging everyone. We're always judging either ourselves, or you should be done the kavz chus, but we are judging people around. It's not always possible to be done the kavz chus. If someone's done something wrong to you again and again and again, you do have to judge to see what's happened. So we're always judging. And the Shla says that shoytim v'shoytim titel lecha b'chal sha'arecha, you should appoint judges in all of your gates. Your gates refer to also the gates of your head, your two ears, your two nostrils, your mouth, and your eyes. And you should appoint shoytim, judges, v'shoytrim. So says Rav Ram, shoyftim, judges, have to be the judges that were suitable to be in the Beis Din. You're never going to get the same level or everyone's going to be the chief rabbi. Meaning it means they have to be working towards the same. Don't start judging yourself and your eyes and your ears and your nose and your mouth, whether you've said Lashon Hara or Treif or you've seen things that are incorrect, until you're a proper shoyfit. Well, what does the shoyfit need? Those are the top three steps of Shlomo HaMelech's judging throne. Make sure before you start looking into yourself and Elul that you're learning properly, so your perspective is not colored and it's not incorrect. You're learning Torah properly, you're engrossed in learning. That's the Asherah. Don't be like, when you're judging yourself, don't be the Asherah tree. Number two, make sure you're working on your Midas and your anger and your Taiva, making sure that slightly, obviously it can't be, you can't be a tzaddik, otherwise you'd be yourself a shoyfeh, but making sure you're trying to think about how they can be better. Other than that, your judgment is not really a judgment, it's nothing. It's like the carbon with a mum, your judgment is nothing, you're not even a judge. So when you judge yourself, and you should look to do that to an extent, to be introspective and elo, then Hashem, so to speak, lays off slightly for all that various that we've unfortunately done this year. Then when you do that, make sure you're a shoyfet the way it should be. That's what the Sheshiva points at. Make sure you're a shofet, someone who's learning, and then your judgment will be more correct. Make sure you're a shofet of someone who works on their midas, or someone who's thinking about their midas, then your judgment of your character will be correct. But I will add in two, I don't know if caveats or additions. One specifically, if you look through the writings of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, there's someone called Hillel Goldberg who writes a lot. The Machshavah Gift was very fond of him. He writes a lot about the Musa movement and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The problem with the Musa, it seems to be according to Rabbi Yisrael, was you get too introspective and you get too involved in yourself, almost at the expense of everyone else around you. If someone is taking on loads of chumras, they're thinking always, 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 then they can start to depress people around them, and they can start to annoy people around them. Like the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, where he was walking on Erev Yom Kippur, and he saw someone and he wished him a good Yom Tov, and he couldn't look up because he was so scared. So he said to his friend, I don't know, just because he's an Averis, why do I have to suffer? Right? That was the challenge of Musa, was that you achieve the opposite. The point is, it makes you a better member of Klal Yisrael, but ultimately, you become so introspective and so involved in yourself, that you forget that you're living with other people and the other people there as well. So you have, and he writes through the Musa Sfam, especially in Ari Yisrael, you have to be careful not to be too, and to look at the positive and focus on that as well. And I think there's a Shemesh Shmuel which says, that's one of the reasons why the Matseva is Pasal. Maseva is just one stone. You have to add on many stones which represent the whole of Klal Yisrael. So that's also hinted to in the way you judge yourself. You have to be part of a many. And when you look at yourself on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, in Elul, it can't be a completely something which is totally devoted on me, because ultimately that annoys generally people around you who are part of your life as well. So I think that's important to point out. And second of all, when you have to judge other people, you can't always be done like Hafzachos. If someone's done something wrong, you have to think about what they've done wrong and how to stop them, and do that from a perspective of a Torah that could judge. Make sure you're in a state that you're in an atmosphere of learning. Make sure you're working on your midas, and only then do you think about what someone's done for you. That's the first Dvar Torah, the beginning of this week's parasha. Shoitim v'shoitrim, all the Ramban, the Shlah, it's a very personal journey that the Torah here is referring to as well. Not only, of course, is Lishka Sagaz, it's the judges, but also it's our own personal journey, especially this time of year in Elul. But it's a very simple message that when you judge yourself, make sure you have the characteristics of the judge that the Torah prescribed over here. Now, it's interesting. We start off by saying the top three steps of Shlomo HaMelech's throne were irrelevant. Asherah, Matseva, Mum. But says the Maharik, says the Rebbe Avraham, not necessarily true. Those are the most relevant. That's for the right at the top. That's what Shlomo heard as he stepped on them right before he started judging. That when you're a judge, you have to be someone who's first of all not an Asherah tree, someone who looks like he can give loads of shiurim, but unfortunately your Yirish Shemaim is not in check. Second of all, don't be a dull stone. Not only are you a Tzamech, you're not adding anything on. You're relying on what you learned in yeshiva when you were 25. Now you're 45, you're far more focused on buying your children properties and your whole learning is finished. That's number two. And number three, if you do that, you won't even be a proper judge. Because you'll be like a carbon with a mum that's never properly designated. So when you judge yourself, and you follow the advice of the Ramban, of Tzedek, Tzedek, Todah, if I'm going to judge myself to make sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't peer into the inner crevices of my heart, then I'm making sure that I'm doing that only after I've learned. Only after I've thought a bit, slightly, about the midas that I have. Then I can start looking inside, and the judgment that I give of whether I've done something right, whether I've done something wrong, is more likely to be correct. That's the Dvar Torah. Something slightly more technical, which there's one point of this that I learned a few years ago, and the second part of this I just saw this year, and I'm in the middle of it now, but I'll tell you where I'm up to with it. But we'll have a completion of the main part of this. Later on in the parasha, it says if you have big problems and you're based in, can't sort anything out. Uvasa lakoinim apasik tes. You should come to the Beis HaMikdash for the Rashtav v'higidu lecha eis devar ha-mishpat, you should know what to do. V'asisa pi ha-dava she-yigidu lecha v'nemakoy mahu ashivcha Hashem v'shamar v'lasas kol l'shayirucha, do what they teach you to do api ha-torah shayirucha v'lamishpat shayim lecha tase lo'isasum in ha-dava. Don't turn away from what they do. Always listen to the Chachamim, strictly Pashup Shah in the Pasuk is talking about the main Sanhedrin. You've got to go listen to what they advised if you can't pass in the case. But of course we know, I think many of us know, that Lo Sosaru and Apia Torah Shayarucha are really referring to many Isturi Drabana. So as a rabbi, the biggest question you get asked, I mean by people who are not necessarily so from, is always on the Rabbanans. Very rarely anyone asks on the Aseres HaDibros. Very rarely anyone asks on the Pasuk in the Torah. Lighting a fire on Shabbos, driving a car. People always associate that makes sense. The Rabbanans are always under challenge. It's been like that since the base time of the base of Migdash. And more recently with the Reform. I once went to someone's house and the kid was eating chicken and cheese together. So as soon as that came in, the mother said, quickly put it away so you shouldn't insult Rabbi Nemeth. Nemeth, well, it's not insulting necessarily, it's wanting to do the right thing. All right. So quickly, I said, no, you can actually join the village of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. The Gemara says he used to have chicken and cheese together. And they moved there. No, right there. So I'm just saying, generally speaking, you always have Isuri Drabonim which are under challenge. So over the years, I've tried to find answers to explain many of them within the Masorah that we have. There's so much that we can say, Apikoros, you can't ask. There's so much that the Pasuk and the Malbim, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the Netziv all try to grapple with these things, especially the Malbim and the Netziv, who were written at the time when the Reform was becoming very strong. And the job of the Malbim was, that he writes himself, is to try and explain how the whole Torah Shabbal Peh and all the Asmachtas fit into the Torah, and it's grammatically proven in the Torah itself. So the Achronim have tried to deal with this, especially recently. It's not like we can't as well. And what one question which I always get asked, and I found this a few years ago, is Lo Sasa, you shouldn't move away. So the Ramban says this pasuk of Lo Sasa is only referring to the like a Kal V'Chomer, a Gezeira Shava, and the way you understand Dinei D'Oraisa. But the Rambam says it's referring to all Dinei D'Rabbana, Tilas Yadayim, Amira La'akum, and chicken and cheese, right? Any Issa or Mitzvah D'Rabbana, Chanukah Purim is found in Loisoso or Al Piyadava Asher Yerucha. It's not just referring to the way you learn a Din Torah, like a Gezeira Shava or a Hekesh. It's referring to every Issa D'Rabbana. And the Ramban says it can't be true, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Sfarim written about this Machloikas between the Rambam and the Ramban. But I'm not going to go into that now. The Rambam says it's this Pasuk. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph, Apia Torah Asher Yerucha. Don't turn away, do like the teachings, like I've told you, Hashem in the Torah is telling us to listen to the Rabbana. And now it's very complicated, we've discussed here many times, because you have a Gezeira, and only in the times of the Gemara, once Rabbeinu and Rabashi stopped the Gemara, no more Gezeiras were made. Once a Gezeira is made, you can't abolish it. There's so many technicalities in that as to why we don't do mitzvahs Rabbana nowadays, or maybe we do. Maybe we even make them nowadays, that's what I'm going to discuss in a minute. Something very interesting which Rabbi Yaakov points out in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos and also Ala Torah, but I'm just jumping ahead. Right, Lo Sasa means mitzvahs to Rabbanon according to the Rambam. Every mitzvah to Rabbanon that you can think of, all the shvusim on Shabbos, everything to do with kashrus that's to Rabbanon, to do with Yom Tov that's to Rabbanon, all the mitzvahs to Rabbanon are found in Lo Sasa, which is ultimately makes it into a mitzvah min haTorah. Now, how does that work? That's in itself a shir, but really that all comes directly from the Torah. Lo sasa min hadavar is allowed. Listen to the Rabbanan, to all the mitzvahs that they may make. Now, why didn't the Torah put them in? That's always what I get asked. If they're so important and Hashem, in his ultimate knowledge, knew they'd be important, then why aren't they mentioned in the Torah? Second of all, what took so long? Historically, if you look at the Gezeiras, they often come maybe 500-600 years after already the Yidden were living there to Israel, or 1,000 years later. So if they're so important, put them there in the beginning. These questions always, especially young children will always ask if they're slightly clever. You've got a Torah, then you've got so many extras, why didn't Hashem put them in? So it could be that it'll be too heavy to carry the Sefer Torah and the Simchas Torah if you have all the Dinei D'Rabbanan. And that's what all the Chazal, the Midrashim don't say. But that Rabbi Yaakov says in the original answer, and I think it's found in the Meshech Chochma also in Parashas Vayeschanan, there's two sets of Aseret HaDibros. One is associated more with the beginning of the journey of the Midbar, and one is in Sefer Dvarim written just before they go into Eretz Yisrael. Now says the Meshech Chochma, there are two parts to Shabbos also. There's the Shabbos that we remember that Hashem created the world. Kishesh Yom Asa Hashem. There's also a Shabbos that Lo Nitnu Shabbosos LiYisrael Ela K'dei Lilmod Behem Torah, we should learn. There's two reasons for Shabbos, so to speak. And that's also found in the Pesukim as well. One is the reasons that we should remember that there's a creator of the world. And every week when we remember that by making Kiddush, we're reliving our Emunah, we're instilling ourselves with Emunah. But number two, the second reason is just that you should focus completely on Hashem. So the whole Kirov world, which has made Shabbos into family time, is not 100% true. And I've never ever sold that as Shabbos, especially to children. Because if I remember with the World Cup, so if it's family time, then why can't I watch the game with my family? Because all he'd been told, this boy, was Shabbos is strictly family time. That's Sunday, necessarily. Maybe family time with Hashem. So the way you associate your connection with Hashem is by enjoying it with people that you love, but not directly family time. So there's two reasons. You remember that Hashem created the world, and also you remember that there's a day with Jewish people, we eat and we have to devote our lives to Hashem, we should learn Torah, and we should do mitzvahs and go to shul, and have Shabbos Seder. So says the Meshech Chochma, that the Shamar associated with the second Aseres HaDibros is there for a reason. Because Shamar is referring to all the Shvusin and all the don't do business on Shabbos. And that's only written in the second Aseres HaDibros because it's right before they went into Eretz Yisrael. In the Midbar, they were eating man, they were learning Torah, they were living in the cloud. Everything was a spiritual existence. They had Yetzer Haras. But everything was there for them to be in Kail for 40 years and learn from the ways of Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Not when they went into Eretz Yisrael. Now they have to start building up the land and working. So they then need to be reminded about all the Shvusin, which is associated with the word Shamar, which is in Sefer Devarim when Moshe is speaking to Klal Yisrael just before they went into Eretz Yisrael. That's when I need to tell you, be careful about Amira La'akum, or you'll be completely distracted watching your field grow on Shabbos and all the businesses. Be careful about all the other associated halachas of Mechach Menka. You don't need that in the Midbar. It's irrelevant. You don't need it at all. When do you need it? Much later on, just before you go into Eretz Yisrael. So you see from there that it, just because there's an Issa to Rabbanon, it doesn't mean it's always relevant all of the time. Chazal had the power to put in the Issa to Rabbanon where they felt it was necessary. Not that Hashem didn't have this in mind. On the contrary, you look through Asmachtas, you'll always find a way that's hinted to in the Torah. Almost like Hashem is saying, there's some sort of Issa Darabanan here. I'm waiting for you, for the time that you feel that's relevant to uncover, to take out this Issa Darabanan and bring it onto Klal Yisrael. And it goes further and further and further and further. And therefore, you find, for example, the halach, Hillel and Shammai made the halach that you can't read next to a candle. So says Yaakov Kamenetsky, that was only a good few hundred years later after they were living in Eretz Yisrael. They could have made it much earlier, but it was irrelevant. People had more emunah when they just came into Eretz Yisrael. They were closer to Har Sinai, so they didn't need it. And therefore it goes, as you get later and later on, you need more Issuri Darabanan. That's true. But what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky adds in, I think is something very original as well, is that he says, think about Yiddishkeit we have nowadays. And think about how it's different to the Yiddishkeit of 500 years ago and 1,000 years ago. For example, Hoshana Rabbah, he says. It's the last 1,000 years we've been very into it, the trouble we do in Hoshana Rabbah. Before that, you won't find such a thing. Yom Kippur Katan, he says, since the Shla, we've been very into Yom Kippur Katan. You won't really find that in Chazal. There's hints to it, but it's not as much as Adi Yom Tovim or Rosh Chodesh or part of the Yiddish calendar. Rosh Hashanah, he says. Look at Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Yom Teruah, and in the davening that the Anshei Knesset Avdoila made, you find references to Hashem's glory being put onto the whole world. Very little in the actual Amida itself about the judging. That's on the Sanatoy cave, that's before the Shofar, and that's all the other tefillahs, the piyutim that we add in. But in the Anshei Knesset Hagdoila, they didn't write about that. Because at that point, it wasn't relevant to write that you were being judged. They realized the schus would come by recognizing that Hashem is the king, and that would be enough for people to have a good year. But as the years moved on, the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they realized if you leave it like that, people, unfortunately, Hashem's glory on the world, similar to Ata Hashem Levadecha, Akol Nasecha, is not something we go to sleep at night dreaming about. Which is why we struggle so much with the Amidah Rosh Hashanah. Whereas to have parnasa, health, and good children is something we do go to sleep at night dreaming about. And therefore they realize we have to add in davening and embellish it. It was always there, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. It's not something they made up. But they realized we have to bring it out onto Klal Yisrael. 1,000 years ago, Hoshana Rabbah said it's a Zohar, it's based on the Kabbalah. But it used to be, if you tell people they're being judged in Hoshana Rabbah, it will ruin the Simcha. So even though it was important, they didn't want to. They realized, unfortunately, that nowadays, or the past 1,000 years, if you tell people, it won't necessarily ruin it. Therefore, they realize it's better to tell people they're being judged. At least they'll associate more with the day. Yom Kippur Katan. We never did Yom Kippur Katan. Maybe it's not so true, we never did, because things are being revealed constantly by the Chachmai Hador, and when they feel it's relevant to bring out something into the open for Klal Yisrael to do. So although we don't really make Issuri Darabanan, Hanhagas, and the way we practice our Yiddishkeit throughout the year is still evolving now, says Rabbi Yaakov. Because you rely on the Chachmai Hador to reveal to you practices that maybe weren't relevant. Your Kippur Katan 700, 800 years ago, you didn't have to necessarily. Now we're on a lower level, and therefore we need reminders maybe every month of that we have to do Tshuva and come closer to Hashem. So that's the reason why Suri Drabana weren't written straight away. They rely on the time constraint, they're relying on the time, and they're only meant to be revealed at certain times when Klal Yisrael need them. The last point I'll make is the Meshech Chochma I just saw this year, is that actually it is a very interesting point. He says that Suri Drabanan, the mitzvah of listening to the Rabbanon, is not listening to every mitzvah. You can't compare mitzvahs Drabanan to mitzvahs d'oraisa at all. They're completely different. A mitzvah d'oraisa is eternal, or at least until Mashiach comes. Definitely, a mitzvah d'rabbanan is not. It's for the time, and you can abolish it if you want. If you have a basin that's very, very chashav, you can abolish a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Sometimes they tried, it didn't work, they weren't chashav enough. But the mitzvah is listening to the chachamim. It's not necessarily a mitzvah. Every mitzvah that they've made is not what you're keeping. Does Hashem want this specific mitzvah? He says he doesn't know. Hashem wants you to listen to the chachamim. That brings Klal Yisrael together and it creates us in a situation of achdus and how we keep the mitzvahs that shouldn't be agudas agudas. That was the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to listen to them, not necessarily to keep every mitzvah, but part of listening to them is by keeping every individual mitzvah. And therefore, these mitzvahs are not written in the Torah because they're not part of the 613. There's one mitzvah to listen, and that can change depending on what time period you're in. And nowadays, we don't change it because we don't have the power. We don't have a Sanhedrin. But strictly speaking, if we would, we could also abolish Netilis Yadayim or certain Amiras that Akib if we felt they wouldn't work. So those, I just want to quickly stop to revise what we've said. The Shoftim is a personal Shoftim. You have to make sure you have the characteristics of a judge that's mentioned in the Torah. Number two, Isuri Drabanan. Why are they not in the Torah? Because although they're hinted to in the Torah, they're only meant to be revealed, says Rabbi Yaakov, at certain time periods. Shomar in Aseret HaDibur says right before they go into Eretz Yisrael, that's where it's more relevant. You're going to get distracted if you do business. We'll make business as Issa Drabbanam. And as we go on, there's different Issuri Drabbanam that have to be instilled. And says Rabbi Yaakov, that carries on until today, the past 1,000 years, even in Europe. Because the Chachmei Ador will reveal certain practices in Yomim Tovim or focus on certain parts of the Yom Tov to enable us to connect to them. And the Meshech Chochma says the reason why, because they're not really intrinsic mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to listen to the Rabbanon by whatever they make. And therefore it's not possible to include these mitzvahs as mitzvahs to Rabbanon. Thank you. Shkoyah. Shkoyah.